It's the red flag up against stars and stripes, but we're peace-loving types.
No one can deny that these are typical times.
It's a sweet, healthy, low-level affair
for both eagle and bear.
These are very dangerous and typical times.
For those that say that this is not a friendly clash, don't be so rash. I assure you, comrades, that is all the time.
Hey, everybody, this is Diane from Alaska.
And Todd in the great civilization known as Los Angeles.
And we are laughing at the frailty of human nature.
Particularly people who choose to visit Alaska without any preparation. Okay, anyway, so... Hey, it's been, like, forever.
Oh, by the way, this is This Conversation Rocks.
Yeah, see, it's been so long I forgot what we called it.
And it has been forever. I just finally edited our privacy conversation, which was our last conversation in April. Today.
And I've been to Alaska, seen Diane, and come back since then.
And I've changed jobs since then. Again.
But the one thing that hasn't changed is the need for privacy. So as soon as we get that posted, please listen to it. Thank you.
Actually, I was listening to it while I was editing today, and I was like, wow, this is really kind of smart. I'm impressed.
One of our better ones.
Right.
Excellent. Excellent. So we're going to catch up a little bit here, and then we're going to talk about where we're at with Donald Trump, and then we're going to talk about...
the Magnitsky Act.
Which, just as a quick primer, is?
So it is an act that the U.S. government endorsed in 2012, which basically holds people who are responsible for human rights violations in Russia responsible financially for their human rights violations. I'll go more into it, but it's related to the death of Sergei Magnitsky, who I will go into as well once we start talking about it. And it is peripherally, but really importantly, related to Donald Trump.
And Russia. And
Trump Jr. and Paul Manafort.
And Russia. And Michael Flynn.
And Russia.
And Jeff Sessions. And Russia.
Yeah.
And impeachment. And Russia. Russia.
Plus, it's a chance for us to say names like Magnitsky.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, oh my God, now I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, no, I've got my train of thought back. So I was watching stuff about the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians a couple of weeks ago, and I really cracked up because Donald Trump's personal lawyer, who has since removed himself from
being... resigned.
Right. They were interviewing him on, I think, Meet the Press, and he kept saying, Magnitsky, Magnitsky, and I was like, this guy can't even get the name of the act that they're trying to repeal right.
The Magenta Act.
Right. So I felt like at that point, maybe I needed to know more about the Magnitsky Act. So here we are. Oh, and my phone is ringing, but I'm not going to answer it. So we'll just let that go. It's probably LendingTree based on our last conversation, which I just listened to today. Still trying to sell me a mortgage.
God, what I get now all the time are people, hey, does your business need capital?
No.
But we've got a lot of capital for your, thank you. No.
And you're like, yes, but not at the rates you want.
I know, man, I'm just like, God.
It's got to be LendingTree. They won't hang up.
Love those guys. All right. So, man, where are we with Trump? And Russia.
So, we're still drinking from the fire hose.
So, kind of working backwards, in just the last 48 hours, Spicer is out.
Spicy out.
being replaced?
Sort of by Scaramucci and sort of by Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Right.
I guess it takes two people to lie as well as Sean Spicer did, which was not very skillfully.
No, and Sarah's not any better at it.
Oh my God, she's appalling.
So, and the first, right off the bat, the first thing was Sarah said that the White House was on board with the Congressional Russian sanctions bill, and Scaramucci said no, he's not on board with it. So, right away, we have improved the situation in the White House. Not at all.
We can definitely see that they are in alignment. Not.
Nothing has changed here, right? Scaramucci. God, there's going to be so many great jokes with this guy. But anyway, Scaramucci yesterday was saying that, that he and Reince Priebus are good friends. So I imagine that is code for Reince Priebus is about to lose his job as well.
There's been some conversation around that, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Because there's been conversation about that since day two.
Right. Well, and Jeff Sessions and Robert Mueller are at risk of losing their jobs.
Yeah, so yeah, Sessions, of course, is in big trouble because...
He recused himself from Russia. Russia, again Russia.
Right, and Trump is pissed about it. When is Trump not pissed about it? Whatever it is.
Oh, and I would just like to say, a little bit diverging from things, Jill Stein tweeted yesterday that at least she wasn't responsible for undermining Bernie and making up this totally false Russia thing like the Democrats were. I was like, Jill, what are you smoking? Go away.
What the fuck?
I know, right? Someone, the person who reposted it, and Dan Savage reposted it, which is why I saw it, said, Jill, you can just shut the fuck up now.
Just for a reminder for our two listeners that may still be with us.
A couple of people have checked the Facebook page lately, so I actually think there might be at least two people who are looking for an update.
Oh, thank you, guys. But
yes.
If you forgot who Jill Stein is, she was
the Green Party. Yeah.
Which means she's not somebody we need to listen to, period.
I don't want to alienate my friends who are Greens, but she was not the best choice they could have made.
Yeah, well, you know, being Green, I don't hold people who are members of the Green Party responsible for her.
For the National Party, right.
Yeah, any more than I hold, you know, rank and file Republicans responsible for Trump. Or, you know, rank and file Dems responsible for Clinton.
Right.
You know, for shit. None of us really get to choose from the people we'd like to choose from.
Amen, you know. Bernie.
Yeah. Man, he should have just gone to the Democratic Party. He should have moved to the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Sorry, right. I totally lost our train of thought. Scaramucci, you were talking about Scaramucci.
Right. And Reince Priebus is, yeah anyway.
BFF forever. Yeah.
Right. You know, which I don't know what that actually stands for in White House terminology. But it's definitely not best friend.
Right. Oh. If anyone has some good adjustments for that acronym, let us know. Feel free to post to our Facebook page.
Absolutely. Okay.
We're a bit punch drunk. We haven't done this in a while. We're practicing. What else do we have to catch up on? That's where we were sort of headed.
Sort of going.
The Republicans failed to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, at least so far. Thank
right.
you, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and who was the third?
I don't know.
Can't remember
John,
her name.
John McCain by virtue of getting brain cancer.
I know. That's so okay. I have to be really honest.
Nobody deserves that.
Right. That's where I was going with that. I don't have to belabor that. And it is a really aggressive form of brain cancer. So the people who are smoking the John McCain is coming back to the Senate pipe. What you really need to do is just send this guy your best wishes and tell him to get a joint, get some Ben and Jerry's, and live it up for the next couple of months.
Yeah, okay. I was wondering.
Yeah.
and was wondering. So, and then it actually, and it does like kind of explain what happened during the Mueller but the Comey testimony.
That's what a couple of other people have commented.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You know.
Well, if you are getting enough disruption to the brain that you're forming a big blood clot, I imagine there's a lot of pressure in there, and I imagine the parts of your brain that need oxygen and blood are not getting them.
Right.
And I'm not bashing on John McCain. I'm just saying, you know.
No, yeah, this is medical reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. This fucks you up. And yeah, like I said, probably explains what happened with the Comey testimony.
It just makes me wonder how long he's actually been dealing with the symptoms and he just didn't realize it. And nobody said, hey, John, you've got to get a grip and get this evaluated.
Yeah, it probably was the Comey testimony that
right
got somebody to finally say, hey, you need to do something here. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, best wishes to McCain and his family. Nobody deserves that.
But now, Mr. McCain, it's about quantity. Or it's not about quantity, it's about quality. So please enjoy your family. Yep. Enjoy your time.
Yep. Let's see what else. Major. You know, it's just so much crap keeps happening. And it all seems, though, to go back to Russia. So, going back just a couple weeks before that, we've got Trump Jr. saying, oh, yeah, absolutely. I met with Russian officials with the express purpose of derailing the Democratic campaign.
So there's a really interesting theory that relates to the Magnitsky Act about how that meeting went down. So I'll definitely get into that, too.
Right. Trump and his legal team are trying to undermine Mueller's Russia investigation, which has led to just some amazingly stupid bullshit. Where, I mean, apparently Trump has really been looking at
pardoning
himself.
So, as someone who has some experience with presidents with some challenges, Mr. Nixon, can he actually pardon himself? I've seen news articles going both ways.
Well,
first of all, you have to be guilty of something to be pardoned.
No, actually, you don't.
Oh, you don't. You just have to be accused of something.
You don't even have to be that.
Okay.
The president's ability to pardon somebody is basically only restricted by the fact that it has to be a federal issue or Washington, D.C. So, which means if Kushner's knocking off bodegas in New York City, Trump can't pardon him.
But if he's made some sort of federal mistake, Trump can pardon him.
Trump can pardon him, yes. Yes. Yes, because if you go back to the Clinton email stuff, right? Obama could have pardoned her for all of her bad behavior related to the email thing.
Even though there was no
charges pending.
Charges. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a priest saying, I absolve thee, I absolve thee, I absolve thee.
Yeah, it is absolution, right?
Okay.
And the thing is that it can never be brought up again.
Oh, really?
Right. I mean, you've been absolved of the crime. You cannot later than, you know, you can't do anything about it later.
Okay, so can you pardon yourself as president?
No serious scholar believes that that would survive a court challenge. And all scholars know that there would be a court challenge.
God, I would hope so.
Now, here's what's interesting, though. If you get impeached, you don't get pardoned. You cannot be pardoned.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that.
I didn't either. So that's one of the reasons why Nixon resigned.
Oh. Right.
Well, that was the fact that the Senate was likely to convict him. So, you know, he could resign or he was going to go to jail and he was not going to be able to be pardoned. So interesting. Trump, should he trust Pence, which I know he probably doesn't, could actually turn the presidency over to Pence long enough for Pence to pardon Trump and then take over the presidency again.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
But if you were Pence, would you do it? Would you give it back to him?
Oh, fuck hell no.
You'd be like, no, I'm not pardoning you for like, shit. In fact, Mueller's here to arrest you anyway, so I guess I'm the president now.
So enjoy prison. Wow, that talk about intrigue.
Right, because, yeah, the thing is, right, I mean, as soon as you make Pence the president, Pence doesn't have to pardon you. And honestly, Pence would be stupid for pardoning him. You know, but
Pence has already hitched his star to this wagon, so I'm not having a lot of faith in his intelligence.
Well, the biggest thing with Pence is that he's being investigated too because he perjured himself at least twice regarding
Michael Flynn,
right, and meeting with the Russians. So, yeah, what we have here, I mean, you know, John Oliver called it right. He's all, this is stupid Watergate. All the drama of Watergate with the biggest bunch of idiots you've ever seen.
I love it.
You know. So. Yeah.
Wow, that's like the last 3 months in a nutshell. And that's kind of scary. And it's only 6 months in. We are 6 months and 3 days in to the Trump presidency. That's the other thing that's really stunning. Hello?
No, I'm reading this. I'm reading Scaramucci's comments about the pardoning thing, right? And I'm just like, but you just said that you guys had no discussion, right? We had no discussion.
Man, but we talked about it.
But he brought it up. Scaramucci said that Trump said he does not have to be pardoned. There's nobody around him that has to be pardoned. He was just making a statement about the power of pardons. Related back to the tweet where he's all, I have the complete power to pardon.
Oh my God.
Yes, but sir, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
So this is totally like a bunch of 5-year-olds going, he touched me first. He touched me first.
Right. Oh, and so, but in the middle of all this week, this was the icing on the cake. Russia recalled Kislyak and basically said, yeah, his work here is done. Yeah, obviously it is. America is in chaos. Drop the mic out, you know.
That I had heard that he had been recalled. I did not. That, I mean, that's perfect. That's a perfect commentary on it. You're right. His work here is done.
Yeah, and they don't want him sticking around should anybody get the remarkably bad idea to try to, like, compel him to testify. You know?
Right, because now that he's back in Russia, we can't make him come back.
Right, and, you know, I mean, I don't really even see, even if he was here, a way in which he could possibly be compelled to testify or anything.
Because he's a diplomat.
Right, but, you know, better for the Russians to just be like, time to come home. Good job, comrade.
Wow. Come on back. That's amazing. I mean, I didn't even think about the fact that he was just totally taken out of our reach. That's amazing.
Yep. Oh, man. I just cracked my thumbnail.
You are totally yanking my chain.
No, actually, I just did, right? But...
A nurse practitioner in a clinic that shall remain nameless will enable you to have travel accommodations for your cracked thumbnail.
Oh, I appreciate that.
At the base of a mountain that will remain unnamed, that will remain nameless.
Right. No, I just
Balshagoria.
Balshagoria. Yeah, no, I'm not even trying to jerk your chain. It's just funny. I just banged it, and I went, huh? What the hell? You know.
But basically, did you die?
I dug it into the arm of my office chair, you know, with that heavy rubber.
Yeah.
You know. Just caught it just right.
Come see me. I'll prescribe some Vicodin for you.
I need the heaviest opioid shit you can give me for that.
Oh my God.
Okay, and before we move into... Well, maybe we'll do it actually afterwards. All right. We kind of have enough of a track record now to just come up with an ongoing segment about things not to do with your vagina.
Oh my God. So I guess you want to talk about highlighting your vagina now rather than later.
Yeah, why don't we do it and then, you know.
So this is kind of an oh, by the way, before we get to the oh, by the ways, right?
Right, exactly.
So Todd texted me this article at Allure.com about the newest craze in beauty
vagina
products.
Maintenance.
So apparently we women are not just supposed to put highlighters on our face now, which I have just kind of gotten into that trend of brushing a little bit of bright makeup on my face to highlight the things that I formerly was told I was not supposed to highlight, like my nose, my chin, my cheeks. But apparently I am behind the power curve because I am only applying highlighter to my face.
And now you can get on with applying it to your vagina.
Okay, be honest with me here. As a guy who likes women, do you ever get that close? And are you ever looking if you're that close?
That's actually not the right question. Do you even care when you're that close? And the answer is no. Right? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Here's the thing I'd like to just say in general. You don't need to do all this to impress a guy. If you want to get laid, just tell him you want to get laid, and you're going to, you know, the rest of it's just going to happen.
Right? Robert Heinlein said it. All cats are gray in the dark. Or was it Shakespeare who said that and Heinlein just appropriated it?
I don't know.
All cats are gray in the dark.
Yeah. You know, you don't need to bedazzle it. You don't need to highlight it. You don't need to steam it. Stick a jade egg in it.
Put a bee's nest in it, which apparently is a thing.
Jesus.
I think it's a bee's nest that has been cleared of bees, but nonetheless.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, right? That had to be another Gwyneth Paltrow
thing, I believe
thing,
it
right?
was, as a matter of fact. Goop. Thank you, Goop.
God. Yeah, no. Yeah, you don't...
I mean, I can understand that you would want to, like, shave your pubis and put a big, giant arrow pointing toward your clit. I understand that.
Yeah, but, okay, that's probably not a bad idea.
You know, highlighter, not necessary.
Gosh.
See, you guys have missed us so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you don't even have to, you know, honestly, you don't even have to go to any lengths. If you want to have sex, if you want to get laid, just tell your partner and they'll figure the rest of it out for you on the spot. No problem.
Although I suppose you could discreetly leave bottles of highlighter laying around the house and that might be a clue.
Well, it's either that or it's evidence that you're cheating. One of those two things is true. God.
And you're putting way too much energy into it.
Yeah.
So it kind of actually puts me in mind of those chimps that have like really brightly colored and gorged vulvas to attract their primate partners. Maybe that's what women are doing.
Yeah, except for the fact that
you don't have to do it.
You don't have to do it. And if you're wearing clothing, there's no point. If you're not wearing the clothing,
there's no point. Alrighty then.
When women finally figure out how little effort they need to make for men, you guys are going to be pissed. About all the money and all the wax jobs and everything else that you've spent your entire life, you know, and you don't have to do any of it.
Or at least how little effort you have to make for the right dude.
Right.
I mean, really, if you're putting that much effort into it, you need to find another partner.
I would think so. Feel free to send us some hate mail and straighten us out.
Brian Williams at the 11th hour at MSNBC.com.
Is that guy still got a job?
He's still got a show.
Okay, well, there you go.
What can there I say?
Yeah. All right, well, so now that we've had our PSA for the month for the podcast and the everything else, I suppose it's time to get on to the Magenta Act.
The Magenta Vagina Act. Also known as the Magnitsky Act, if you actually are smart enough not to work for Donald Trump.
Okay, so
Okay, so I actually thought this was really interesting, and I was glad that we went down this rabbit hole, because I had a lot of fun reading about it this morning, which kind of sounds sick, but there you go. I've actually been hearing about this probably over the last 4 months or so, because Bill Browder's name has come quite a bit up in political media. I don't know if you're familiar with Bill Browder.
I am not.
That's okay. We're going to talk about Bill Browder. So first, the Magnitsky Act is named for a guy named Sergei Magnitsky, who actually worked for Bill Browder. Bill Browder was an investment banker in Russia. He had a big company called Hermitage Capital Management, and Sergei Magnitsky worked for him. So this all kind of started, actually, I have to go back to my all kind of started page, my backstory. So Bill Browder in 2005 alleged that he, and I'm going to say alleged, even though I think he's probably more truthful than his Russian counterparts. He said that he found a corruption scheme which basically allowed a lot of high-ranking Russian officials to have this tax heist where they could, and I'm not quite sure how it worked, I don't understand the intricacies of how it worked, but they basically could end up stealing taxes that they took from businesses like his, and they would channel them to Russian officials, Russian cops, and Russian tax officials. So it was basically like a theft of all of this tax money from these foreign businesses that should have been going to the Russian state and instead got funneled to individual Russian politicians and bureaucrats.
Okay, so in other words, kind of a mafioso kind of thing?
Right. It was like this big tax fraud thing that happened in Russia. So Bill Browder revealed his perceptions about it in 2005. And then he hired Sergei Magnitsky to investigate it. And Sergei Magnitsky said that he discovered just this one moment of tax fraud that involved the Hermitage Capital Management Company, Browder's company, to the tune of $230 million. And basically what happened is Browder's company had to pay $230 million in taxes. Somehow this tax payment was hijacked and then funneled to all of these different individuals. So Sergei Magnitsky uncovered this, started talking about it, and was arrested and detained by the Russian government in 2008 because of his investigations into this.
So
Magnitsky ultimately was killed in Russian custody.
The kind of thing where it was a suicide by shooting himself 27 times right, and throwing himself out a window twice, right?
Well, so it depends on who you talk to, and it depends on how far you go into the investigation, which is also really interesting. So I read some stuff, and this is actually from a BBC article that was published on the internet. He died in 2009. He was detained and arrested in 2008, died in 2009. And initially, the Russian government was saying, well, it was untreated pancreatitis, and he went into heart failure and shock. So basically, his pancreas was inflamed and infected for some reason, and he ended up with a systemic infection and died because of this infection. Well, it also came out after the Russian, what were they called? The Russian Human Rights Commission, which I can't even believe that there is one.
Yeah.
Well, they did some initial investigation, which was ordered by Dmitry Medvedev, who was the president at that point in time, in the brief intermission in Vladimir Putin's power, to briefly when he let someone else have the presidency. Anyway, Medvedev ordered the investigation. This Russian Human Rights Commission said, yeah, well, you know, we also found out that he was beaten before he died. So there were allegations that actually he was tortured to death.
Well, that makes more sense.
Being Russia, right? So yeah. After his death, the Russian government actually put him and Bill Browder on trial. Now, at this point, Bill Browder had been dismissed from the country. His visa had been taken. His business had been seized. So he was convicted in absentia of tax fraud, and Magnitsky was convicted posthumously of tax fraud.
Okay.
Investigations continued in Russia from 2009 to 2013. The Human Rights Commission that initially said that they had discovered that, oh, by the way, Magnitsky had been beaten as well as had this untreated medical condition, said, you know, it's probably not a good idea for us to research it because there's a conflict of interest. So in 2013, this group called the Investigative Committee, which the BBC said is comparable to the Russia's FBI, to their version of the FBI, dropped the investigation and said, we're dropping it because Magnitsky was actually legally arrested and detained and he had never been tortured. And that was the end of it, as far as Russia was concerned.
Right. Well, who are you going to believe?
Right. So, kind of going back to the backstory, Magnitsky's death led Hermitage Capital Management, so Browder's company, and a group of human rights activists to compile a list of names of people who they thought were involved in this tax fraud. So not just involved in Magnitsky's death, but also people that they were specifically naming in the tax fraud that he had uncovered. And it included people who were high-ranking in the Interior Ministry, and as I previously mentioned, Russian police and Russian tax officials. And it sounds like there are about 60 names on the list. 44 names are actually published and cited in the Magnitsky Act, which we'll talk about a little more in a second. But Bill Browder actually alleges that there are up to 10,000 Russian officials involved in this scam.
Sure.
So, which, you know, when you
okay,
when you
I
think
got
about,
a problem with that.
What's that? You think that number's too small?
I just don't think it's not. I don't think it's false.
Right. Right. I mean, I think that in the climate in which we live, I totally believe that this is a scam that is going on and that somehow Vladimir Putin and his 10,000 best friends are lining their pockets with what is supposed to be Russian tax money. That seems very real to me. That seems very possible to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And they've been funneling some of that money to Trump, which is why Trump doesn't want his tax returns made public. So,
well, you know, that's certainly a reasonable possibility. I mean, and we may never, if he successfully fires Bob Mueller, we may never know the extent of how much Russia actually helped, how much Putin actually helped the Trump campaign.
Exactly.
But it does circle back to this whole Magnitsky Act. So in 2012, the U.S. adopted this as regulation. And basically what the Magnitsky Act allows us to do is the U.S. can refuse visas to people who are cited as a part of this human rights violation. It allows them to freeze assets of Russian officials involved in human rights violations. And it's really interesting because it was supposed to just target people who were involved in Sergei Magnitsky's death. But there's actually a clause, for lack of a better word, in this act that allows the U.S. government to extend these sanctions to people who are thought to be a part of any human rights violations in Russia. So that's one of the reasons that it's such a big deal still, is that it's not just the people who were involved in killing Sergei Magnitsky, but it's involved in anybody who's, or it could potentially involve any Russian official who's accused of a human rights violation like this.
Which is a lot of them.
Right. And the other thing that's really interesting is that it doesn't just freeze assets, but here was something that was shocking to me. It also allows the U.S. to place treasury sanctions on anyone who is named as a part of the Magnitsky Act. And what that really means, and I didn't realize this, is that someone who is on the treasury sanction list cannot open a bank account anywhere in the world. So you essentially, if you're put on this treasury sanctions list, you become a financial pariah. You can't process money, you can't spend money, you can't have assets in any kind of legal above board bank. And it sounds like even banks in places like China don't want to do it because they don't want to violate U.S. Treasury sanctions.
Yeah, because no country, no bank in any other country in the world is going to want to take an action that ultimately could result in them having problems with the U.S. at some point.
That's exactly right. So that's there's an article in Slate that I looked at that is titled, "Why Exactly Does Putin Hate the Magnitsky Act?" And that's what it was talking about, was that he is still actively pushing to get this repealed because it hurts so many Russian officials financially if they get named in this. And there's the potential for a lot of people to be named in this.
They should all be named in it. In fact, actually, we should be starting with, you're all on the fucking list.
Right. And there are a few U.S. officials who should be on that list as well.
Yeah, prove that you shouldn't be, yeah.
So Magnitsky's death kind of became a big symbol for this and a big symbol against Russian corruption. And that's one of the reasons that the Magnitsky Act was adopted. And at first, Barack Obama was hesitant to back it because he felt like it was going to damage bilateral relations with Russia. But he ultimately got pressured into supporting it. I will say, in fairness to Donald Trump, it sounds like he has actually named a few additional people to the Magnitsky Act since he became president. I don't know what his motives are. I don't know if it's some way to demonstrate that he's ostensibly still in support of these sanctions against Russia. I don't know if he just doesn't know. I figure I'm pretty smart, and if there are aspects of the Magnitsky Act that are lost on me, he probably has no clue what it is.
Oh yeah.
It's absolutely the Magenta Act.
Magenta Vagina Act.
Right.
We're just going to refer to it now by its proper name, the Purple Pussy.
There you go. The Russian Purple Pussy Riot.
God, this one is...
We've totally gone downhill already. We really have not done this in a long time.
This is the lowest brow, highbrow podcast we've ever done.
So, but the other thing that's really important is that a few days after the U.S. said, okay, we're going to adopt the Magnitsky Act and sanction all of these Russian officials, Russia retaliated by saying, okay, if you're going to adopt that, we're not going to let any Americans adopt orphan Russians anymore. Or Russian orphans, rather. Orphan Russians, Russian orphans, 6 1 half dozen of the other. So that's where the whole Trump Jr., oh, well, we were meeting about adoption. That's where that comes in.
Right, but...
But, and it's interesting because there's a connection there, too. Anyway, in addition to barring adoptions, Russia said, if you're going to endorse this Magnitsky Act, we are also going to come right back at you and blacklist any U.S. officials that we think are involved in human rights violations. And they said, we're also going to suspend activities of nonprofits in Russia that receive any support from the U.S.,
Yeah, okay.
Which is, you know, that has huge ramifications because, like, human rights groups that might actually prevent another death like Sergei Magnitsky's, all of a sudden now they're suspended in Russia because they're receiving U.S. funding.
Right.
So it has far-reaching ramifications in addition to the kind of glitzy, we're not going to let people adopt Russian children anymore.
Honestly, can't we find other places to adopt children?
Right. Well, and so here's something that's kind of interesting, though. So one of the U.S. citizens that was blacklisted by the Russians, and I'm probably going to butcher his name because I don't have it in front of me, Preet Bharara. Did I say his name right? He's the guy, the U.S. attorney from New York, who Trump fired because he was actually pursuing investigations of Trump properties in New York.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So he's actually been named by the Russians as, well, you know, we're going to say you're bad since you've said our officials are bad. So it's really complicated. There are people from the Bush administration who were named for human rights violations, which that's probably accurate. But there are a whole bunch of U.S. officials that have been sanctioned as a result of this.
Right.
So, I know, and it gets more complicated. So I would really encourage people, if you haven't checked it out, check out Slate's podcast, Trumpcast, because Joseph Weisberg, I'm talking too fast, just recently interviewed Bill Browder and talked about this very thing. And it was a really good interview. And he talked about some of the stuff that I'm bringing up here, like why Russia why Putin hates the Magnitsky Act so much. So here's how this ties in with the meeting that Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner were at. So Bill Browder basically says that Putin is making getting rid of the Magnitsky Act one of his biggest foreign policy pushes because the act could specifically target him and all of the money that he's been amassing while he's been in power in Russia. And Browder has actually been able to demonstrate that a guy named Sergei Roldugin, I think I'm saying his name right, who is a trustee nominee for Putin, has received a part of that $230 million that was hijacked from Browder's company as a part of the investigation that Magnitsky, or the investigation that Magnitsky did to uncover that, right? So they actually can show that maybe not a direct line to Vladimir Putin in terms of this money landing in his pocket, but this money has landed in the pockets of his trustee. So it's getting really close. The other thing that the investigation after the seizure of Browder's business revealed, they just looked at one tax office in Russia, and that one tax office had authorized the theft of over $1 billion in funds through these kind of tax schemes that happened to Browder's company. Just Jesus. One tax office.
Yeah.
So when you think about how far that would touch, and that's where Browder kind of estimates that he's looking at probably 10,000 people who around Putin have profited from these schemes. We're talking a phenomenal amount of money.
Right. An obscene amount of money.
And so Browder points out that because the Magnitsky Act can name anyone in an official position in Russia who is involved in human rights violations, it actually is going to impact all of these people who have been feathering their nests and then just want to quietly go away and live in a foreign country and do foreign banking and spend all of their money once Putin is out of power. So that's why Putin is pushing so hard to get it reversed.
Right.
And so here we go. The attorney who met with Manafort, Trump Jr., and Kushner, and several other people, some of whom we're still trying to figure out, right? She has been at the center of efforts to repeal the Magnitsky Act.
Yeah.
So this woman's last name is Veselnitskaya. I think I've got that right. And she has represented a group that supposedly is just all about wanting to restart Russian adoptions.
But the only way to restart Russian adoptions
is to repeal the Magnitsky Act.
Yeah.
Right. And this is information from a Newsweek article a couple of days ago. So Browder actually feels like what really happened is that they said, okay, we'll meet with you and we'll give you intelligence about Hillary Clinton. So he thinks that was peripherally involved, but the price that you will pay is you will repeal the Magnitsky Act when we get you in power.
Right.
So that's how it all ties together. The Magnitsky Act is important because it was really the reason, according to Bill Browder, that that Trump's supporters and Trump's closest family members met with this attorney to get this stuff on Clinton, this dirt on Clinton, that ultimately they were going to have to promise to support a repeal of the Magnitsky Act.
Right. And of course you got three of the biggest morons I've ever seen.
Right.
To agree to take that meeting. So whoo-hoo. You know?
And two of whom are still highly placed as far as Jared Kushner's role to be the savior of humanity in the Trump administration. How's that working out for him?
So far, okay.
And then Donald Trump's son, Manafort, is no longer involved with the campaign, but he's got to still be peripherally involved with Trump. It's just got to be hushed, you know?
Right.
And we know that he's made big money representing criminals in the Ukraine. So it's just, it's so tangled. And it was so interesting to kind of pick apart a couple of threads in terms of how this was tangled.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people need to be going to jail.
Well, so hopefully the fact that I had the opportunity to once again use our podcast to learn a little bit about stuff that I didn't know anything about benefited somebody else.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I mean, you hear it kind of bandied around on news shows if you're watching the news at all, and you hear the Magnitsky Act, but you don't really hear anything detailed about it. And now it makes sense that it's so intricately involved in this exchange of information because the Russians want these sanctions against them taken away.
Right. Yeah. And this is, it's a good piece of the puzzle because the sanctions aren't about the properties that we seized in the Washington, D.C. area.
No, they're broad. They're international. I mean, these people, if they are sanctioned as a part of the Magnitsky Act, can't spend all of their ill-gotten gains. They can't, there's no way that they can use that money above board.
I love it.
And whether you're talking about 60 people or whether you're talking about 10,000, that's a lot of people with a lot of money and power.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they would say, hey, we'll dangle this carrot as long as you give us what we want. So the take home from Bill Browder's interview with Jacob Weisberg. I'm trying to smear his name into like one name. The take home was, okay, nothing has happened yet. The Magnitsky Act is still in place. All of these people who have been named so far as being sanctioned are still sanctioned. And Browder says, basically, I'm just watching this every day to see if it changes. And if it changes, then I'm going to bring it to people's attention. You know, we can't let the Magnitsky Act be overturned.
No.
So.
No. Excuse me. So, yeah. Just another part of the piece of the puzzle and the corruption that is the ongoing Trump presidency.
And you're right. It's all Russia, Russia, Russia. It's kind of like a really bad Brady Bunch episode. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Marsha, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and because it's just, you know, time and time again, right? Everything ties back to Russia. Everything ties back to there is a strong financial stake for Trump to not be fucking Russia up, right? Over Syria, over the election, over all this stuff. And even when it looks like that Trump may finally be on board to do something, like this morning, Sarah said, yes, the president is absolutely going to sign the Congress's bill about the Russian sanctions. And then, you know, an hour later, Scaramucci's like no, he hasn't. He didn't say that. He hasn't decided that, you know.
Well, and so another thing that came out over the last week that we didn't mention in our recap at the beginning was all of a sudden it's been revealed that Donald Trump had an off-record meeting with Vladimir Putin at the G20.
In which Vladimir Putin's translator, I'm sure, reminded him that they've got the golden showers tape.
Right.
So what the fuck are you doing? Get in there and repeal this act.
Yeah, so up until a week ago, we thought he'd met with Putin once above board, and now we're finding out, oh no, it just all looks so sleazy. I mean, here's the other thing. Even if only 10% of it is sleazy, just the appearance of sleaze makes us look like idiots internationally.
Well, that and gross incompetence, negligence.
And pretty much just selling our entire political system out to Russia.
Right, to Russia. You know, the rest of the world sees this for what it is. The Russians finally got... they finally got a chokehold on the United States through this guy.
Well, you know, I was talking with a friend yesterday who said her husband is from Switzerland, and she lived in Switzerland for a few years. And every morning they wake up and they watch a French show called 24 or 24 Hours, something like that. And it's basically like the French version of CNN. And I was like, oh, God, it must be so fascinating to hear how the French view us. And she was like, you know, they really see this garbage for what it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, amazing. Everybody does except us.
Well, and you know, it kind of led to multiple conversations yesterday at that barbecue I was telling you about with people. Thank God. I think I had a barbecue invite to probably the only liberals in Alaska.
There's a few of you up there.
But we talked a lot about just the whole pardoning thing and how there's that 25 to 30% base that regardless of what horrid thing Donald Trump does, including giving us over to the Russians, they're going to support him regardless.
Yeah, but that's always the way it is, right? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I mean the politics is our new religion in this country, right? And we are willing to have religious style wars over our politics.
That was another thing that my friend who'd lived in Switzerland said. She said, you know, when you watch European news, people are willing to have healthy debates and people are willing to have back and forth, whereas in this country we can't. You're absolutely right. It's my ideology or your ideology.
Right. And if you don't believe in my ideology, at some point I have to kill you.
Right. Or at the very least, I am never fucking talking to you again.
Right. You know, yeah. Sad, sad state of affairs. But, all right. And what we understand about Russia and all this stuff, I am hoping is but a fraction of what Robert Mueller understands about Russia, the president, Russia, Manafort, Russia.
Kushner, Russia.
Kushner, yeah.
So this is very interesting. I am on a particular social media network that is about organizing resistance to things that happened in the Trump administration. And yesterday a call went out to start organizing in advance to protest the firing of Mueller. So there are a lot of people who feel like Robert Mueller probably is not going to have his position for very much longer.
Yeah, but, you know, it's still the Saturday Night Massacre thing under the Nixon administration.
Absolutely. You keep firing people until you find someone who's going to do what you want them to do, and then that person has no credibility.
Right. Right. And Congress has been making some noise that, yeah, if you do manage to fire Mueller, we'll bring him back as a congressional investigator, which he can't do anything about.
Let's hope they do. Let's hope they actually stand strong and do that. I'm not impressed with this Congress so far. I'm surprised. I was actually stunned earlier this week when, who was it? It was Ron Paul and somebody else who came out and said, okay, we're not voting for the Senate healthcare bill. I was shocked that they came out independently.
Rand Paul. Yeah, it was Rand Paul and wasn't it the senator from Maine?
No, it wasn't King. But they pointed out, pundits have pointed out that they came out together because neither wanted to be the person who actually pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, yeah. That was surprising. So maybe there are a few consciences, a few voices that will say, no, we're not going to let you hand us over to Russia so easily.
Right. Well, I think, yeah, I think the one thing is for sure with like the healthcare thing in the Senate is that the Senate has never really been for repeal of Obamacare. You know, that was never a major issue for them. That was always the House, right? And there are 37 or 47 votes and stuff. The senators are, you know, it's the difference between being in the Senate and being in the House. The Senate's got to represent an entire state, and that's a lot of people who are going to lose benefits.
I was going to say, and I do think that there are people like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski who recognize that, who really understand that their base is going to be impacted.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we were looking at just some numbers for our clinic the other day, and over 50% of visits with one of our providers were Medicaid patients. So we're a federally funded clinic where we support people who can't get care anywhere else. And if Medicaid goes away, a lot of our services go away, which means even less access for people who still have coverage or, you know, who potentially can't find something anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, and the whole thing with the healthcare reform and repeal and everything, which we should have another episode about again.
Probably should.
It's just, NPR has found a staggering number of Trump supporters who are really upset that he is actually trying to get rid of Obamacare. So once again, I am left with the quandary of trying to understand how the Republicans are so good at getting people to vote against their own interests.
I've been reading a lot about that. In fact, I'm going to try to remember to post a link to an Appalachian blogger that I recently read an article by this guy, and it was amazing. I'm going to try to remember to put it on our website or our Facebook page, one or the other, both maybe, because he talks specifically about the poor and the disenfranchised and kind of how they're just presented with a series of really awful choices from one to the next.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal essay. Well, so this kind of leads to my, oh, by the way, I wanted to mention that Bill Browder has written a book called Red Notice, which goes into his experience with the Russian government and Sergei Magnitsky's death and the Magnitsky Act in much greater detail than we've had a chance to do here today. I haven't read it yet. I downloaded it to my Audible account so I can start listening to it on my commute to work. But I'm also reading a book right now called, well, listening to a book right now called No Is Not Enough by Naomi Klein. And it's phenomenal. It's about basically no is not the only response that you can give to the Trump administration. You have to give them a stronger response than that. So it's really phenomenal. And she does a lot of writing about how people are encouraged to vote against their self-interest and vote people like Donald Trump into power.
Yeah. All right, I'll check that out.
I also downloaded Devil's Bargain, which is the book about Trump and, why am I blanking on his name? Bannon, which is getting a lot of attention right now. I put that on my Audible account, so that's in the works as well.
Cool.
And I just want to say about a book that's totally not related to politics at all, at least not directly related to these politics. A friend of mine shared an essay written by Sherman Alexie, who is a Native American author.
Oh, yeah. From Washington area.
Yeah, he's from Spokane. He's part of the Spokane and the Coeur d'Alene tribes. This book is called You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, and it's a memoir about his incredibly tortured relationship with his mother.
Yeah, I heard a couple interviews with him. Yeah.
Oh my god, it's phenomenal. I'm reading that. Yeah. I'm actually reading that on my Kindle. I'm not listening to it on Audible, and it's amazing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so if anybody's looking for good reading, I would put all four of these books on your list.
I don't have any good books to suggest at the moment.
Well, that's because you work too much.
It is true. That's exactly why I don't, right?
Yeah.
Basically, I'm redoing the Audible books of Game of Thrones again.
Oh, God. I will tell you that my sister and I are still podcasting Preacher, and there's a lot of crossover between people who are working on Preacher and people who are working on Game of Thrones.
So what do you think of the second season of Preacher so far?
I love it. And if there's anybody out there who's listening to us who's interested in Preacher, my sister and I do a podcast called The Good News, The Gospel According to AMC's Preacher. And we're having a lot of fun with it.
And where can they find that?
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on any Android platform. You can find us on iTunes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And Walking Dead?
Walking Dead. You can find us at Biters. And the American Gods podcast has had one episode and has died a horrible technical death because my podcasting partner is just having a lot of challenges right now, including all of her tech failed on her this week. So she's trying to get set back up, and we're still going to try to make it fly.
No, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, me too. But I will say, if people love American Gods, which you and I both do, although you haven't watched the series yet, have you?
You know, this is going to be horrible, right? We even subscribed to Stars. I watched the first two episodes and then haven't been back.
Did you like it?
Yeah, you know, I didn't hate it, that's for sure. I don't know.
I've got a couple of friends who are American God casting. It's called the American Gods cast. Or American God cast. Anyway, I can't remember what Podcastica Network. Jason and his wife and a guy named Mr. Blog, who goes by Mr. Blog. They're amazing. So if you want to listen to an American Gods podcast, Godcast, they're awesome.
My problem is I had just finished listening to the 10th anniversary edition of the audio book for American Gods, right? Which has actually got several cast members on it and stuff. And the problem is after that, I just couldn't quite get into the TV show because it was just too ingrained in my head.
And the series definitely departs. I mean, I think it's making some really good departures and they've made amazing cast decisions. But I mean, it's a little different. So if you're a purist, you might not be as comfortable with it. Although on the flip side, I think that if you are someone who has not read American Gods, you might dive into the series and be like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's a bit much in places to try to figure some of it out. But I thought it was well done and everything. It just didn't quite hook me. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'll be back to it at some point after I kind of had a chance to forget about the audio version.
After you stop working like 120 hours a week.
Yeah, well, that's just not going to happen. Let's just not even be crazy here.
Is there even 120 hours in a week? There must be.
There's actually...
7 times 24. Somebody do the math because I'm not going to make my broken brain do it.
I got to get the calculator
up. Oh, now we're really lowbrow.
Oh my god. And of course I can't type calculator, so. All right. 7 times 24. There's actually 168 hours.
Oh good. So you're having sex and sleeping during the 48 hours that are left over. Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's just, such is my life.
So
I got no complaints. I got no complaints, though.
Do you have a Hall of Honorable Mention or a Fuck That Guy before we close?
No, I mean, I suppose the Hall of Honorable Mention, of course, goes to Comey, even though it's been several weeks. But
for having some chutzpah?
Yeah, I mean, I think he handled that as well as anybody could ever handle being in just what is the weirdest situation. You know, and then getting called to testify in front of Congress. And fuck that guy goes to, fuck it. Let's just give it to Scaramucci and just get ahead of that curve.
You know what's really funny? So I was going to give it to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, so we're on the same page.
Yeah.
She is appalling. She is one step away from having all of us living in The Handmaid's Tale.
Exactly.
And how this woman who presents herself as such a good, upright, moral Christian can go on TV and lie for Donald Trump and block access to any kind of meaningful media, she's just appalling.
Yeah, well, and it has to do with the fact that you know, when you are a believer, you can lie for your cause and that doesn't cause you any problems at all. You know, you believe that what you're doing is important.
At least we could laugh at Sean Spicer. I can't laugh at Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She just pisses me off.
Well, the problem is if you laugh at her, people say you're fat shaming her. It's like, nope, not fat shaming her.
Yeah, she's just a fucking person. Moron. Yeah.
Yeah. And what exactly is her relationship to Mike Huckabee?
I believe she's Mike Huckabee's daughter.
That's what I thought, yes. Yeah. And so, you know, again, he's a pretty appalling person, too.
Yes, he has become more appalling. I think that he was able to present himself fairly well when he was initially in the national eye, and he just gets more disgusting every time I see him.
Now he's just an old fat version of Ted Nugent with no talent. Right. And that's saying something about Ted Nugent's
talent. That's saying
a lot. Like Ted's got a hell of a lot of talent either. And yes, by the way, you can send fucking hate mail to me on that one, too. I don't give a fuck.
At the 11th hour said, and MSNBC.
I said it. Ted Nugent sucks.
I concur. And I hate George Thorogood, too. So go ahead and just get that hate mail out there.
Fair enough.
So I have a couple of Neil Gaiman quotes to take us out on, because I was just thinking about just how disgusting and appalling the people who stole all that money and beat Sergei Magnitsky to death were. So here are my thoughts, summed up by Neil Gaiman. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
So the first quote was, "They do all the same things. They may think their sins are original, but for the most part, they are still petty and repetitive." And then the other one is, "It's been said that civilization is 24 hours and two meals away from barbarism."
Yeah, there are days when I cannot argue that with that one, you know? I mean, like, my brain is like, no! And I'm like, eh, maybe.
Oh, yeah. 24 hours and two meals. I think it's really true.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, and fuck that guy Scaramucci. Trump still doesn't accept intelligence conclusion on Russia.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and Scaramucci makes his debut with a vow to stop those White House leaks.
Okay, people, all I have to say is Magenta Magina Act.
And Magenta Magina. The Purple Pussy Riot Act. And Mr. Scaramucci, I'd just like you to realize, of course, is the biggest leaker in the White House is, in fact, the president.
Right.
Because every time he comes out with a tweet, Mueller's like, oh, we maybe should look at that now.
Right.
You know what I mean? let's see. Anything else? How low can Trump's approval go? Well,
what was it? 36% the last time a study was done?
Yeah, there's no bottom to that. There is no bottom. Because, you know, at some point, and this is the sad truth on both sides of it, you know, when you hit that core of my cause, fuck you, you can be fucking goats on the White House lawn and everything's fine.
Or who was it who did that joke about him rolling around on the White House lawn eating grass saying, I'm a lawnmower.
Exactly, right? You know, so... Don't look. The approval rating thing is just always should be taken as the majority of America agrees or disagrees, right? Not, you know, what are you going to do? Because, you know, on the other side, right, there's 30% of the people who would be like, you know, Trump could save a young girl from drowning tomorrow. And we'd be like, fuck that guy.
Right.
You know?
And I have to say, I would probably be one of those people who'd be like, fuck that guy. He groped her while he saved her from drowning.
Yeah, exactly. It would probably be true.
It probably would be.
Oh, God.
So I just want to also bring up, since we're doing the little after show now, my favorite meme of the last week is the one that I texted to you. A lawyer, a spy, a money launderer, and a mob boss walk into a bar. Bartender says, "You must be here to talk about adoption."
Oh, that's great. Oh, that is great. Let's see if I can... Kellyanne Conway, 2 hours ago. Trump doesn't think he's lying on voter fraud. Well, no, I don't think anybody said that we thought that he was lying. I think he's insane that he believes that some kind of voter fraud was out there, considering he won the fucking election.
Right. Well, he's still butthurt because he didn't get the popular vote.
I understand why he's butthurt, but...
Because we're all a little butthurt, too.
Because we did get the popular right. vote, and we didn't win the election, yeah. Yes, because again, though, generally, voter fraud is not something invoked by the winner.
It's kind of the same brain that asks whether he can pardon himself and all of his nearest relatives.
Unfortunately, the nearest relatives thing, no problem. But here's an interesting thing, though, right? If you get pardoned, say if you're Paul Manafort and you're pardoned, right? And therefore you can't go to jail, you can't claim the Fifth Amendment when Congress drags your ass in front of them. You can't incriminate yourself because there's no way
for you to... Because there's nothing for you to be criminally charged with.
Right.
Oh, I like
which
that.
Which means you can't refuse to answer the questions.
So Trump is actually doing us a favor with all of his pardon blathering.
Potentially. Yeah. Yeah, this is why generally people get pardoned after they've been convicted and they've gone to jail for a small period of time, and that's when the pardon generally happens, right?
I mean, that's the Donald, always ahead of the power curve.
Well, you know, it's interesting, right? You go back and you look at Watergate, you know, apparently the Nixon administration was asking many of these same questions as they got desperate, you know? So.
I just don't even know what to say. And I've said a lot in the last hour.
And, yeah, absolutely. All right, well then let's go ahead and wrap it right there.
All right, everybody.
Everybody have a good week, and we hope to God it won't take us so long to get the next one.
Yeah, we hope it won't be 3 months between podcasts. Maybe 2 weeks, but we're hoping not 3 months.
That's right.
All right, everybody, take care.
All right.
Make him want to change his name. Take him to the cleavers and devastate him. Wipe him up.
We have never reckoned on coming second.
There's no use in losing. It's the red flag up against stars and stripes. But we're peace-loving types.
No one can deny that these are typical.